Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally, one half of the Double S Express, normally joined by Sean Boyd, but pinch hitting yet again for a second straight week. He liked it so much. Twice as nice. Proof in the play. Welcome back to On the Double, my man.
Hey, what's going on the Double, man? I'm here again to pinch hit one more time, man. Trying to get on base.
Man, it's been a crazy week in sports. The weekend was all kinds of crazy. College football, NFL. Let's not forget high school football, which we will be talking quite a bit here shortly with our big-time guest tonight, Matthew Bassett of ABC Jam Productions, a part of the NFHS Network. And, man, it is the time for football, but I know, Proof, I know your game. Basketball is it, and that is getting started as well.
Oh, man, it's tryouts is this week. Next week, they really get it started and rumbling. Ah, man, I can't wait. My bones is itching right now, waiting to get in the gym. It's going to be a lot of great basketball being played this season. I can't wait for high school basketball.
You know, it's nice to see basketball-wise that you even have the University of Washington already kicking things off. So basketball definitely out there on the horizon, but football is the name of the game right now. And let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone line to welcome in Matthew Bassett of ABC Jam Productions, a part of the NFHS Network. Matthew, thanks for your time tonight.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me on, man. It's good to be on with two of my guys.
What's going on, Matt? Man, I appreciate you coming into On the Double. I'm pinch hitting right now, but I thank you for allowing me to pinch hit on your ABC Jams, man.
I appreciate the help, man. We covered 171 sporting events last year. Wouldn't have been possible without the two of you.
Now, Matthew, for those that don't know, a quick synopsis. ABC Jam Productions does what?
Broadcast high school sports all across the state of Washington. We've even dabbled in some Oregon high school sports a bit, but that's the quick story. I don't know how much time you got. We can go a little longer if you want, but yeah, we tackle any and every high school sport in the state of Washington. We have several main focuses that I've never been one to turn down any event. If somebody asks me if I could do something, I'm usually going to say yes, as long as you're doing proof that can come along for the ride.
Hey, man, the time, hey, we've got the full hour, so it's up to you. I know you're the busy man with work, with ABC Jam, with your day job, with your wife, your three kids. So, hey, as long as you got, we'll have you.
Yeah, so, you know, we started up, it's been about 2.5 years now, I guess. It was a little over 2 years. We started in the fall of 2016, and we just kind of started, and it was like, hey, do you guys want to try this? And I said, yes, I want to do this. And that was the NFHS Network that asked me if I want to start my own business and become an affiliate. And I said, yeah, I'd love to try that out. And then, so I took three of my closest friends. You've met all of them, Ryan Mead, Al Johnson, and Matt Combs. And Al was from New York. And I said, perfect. Al likes to talk. He could be on the air with me. Ryan said, I've seen a mixer before. I could be the producer. And Matt was like, I know how I've seen a camera before, and so I could be the cameraman. And we just started going out and doing games. We started off doing two Sammamish High School football games, the first one against Ingram, the next one against Liberty. And then shortly thereafter, I reached out to Nathan Hale High School, and we landed Nathan Hale High School, and Michael Porter Jr. and Jonte Porter with Brandon Roy as the coach and P.J. Fuller. And they became national champions, state champions. Michael Porter Jr., best player in the country. It was like this crazy whirlwind how we got started. And I left myself thinking in 2016-17, I was like, it's never going to get better than this. Like, I should just drop the mic and walk away right now because this is going to be the best it's ever going to get. I'm interviewing Michael and Jonte on a nightly basis. I'm interviewing Brandon Roy on a nightly basis. How could it ever get better than this? And then sure enough, last year, without that star power, got better in 17-18. So, we did 171 high school sporting events in 2017-18. We're well on our way to do over 200 this year in the 18-19 school year. I don't look at things in a calendar, year anymore. I look at things based on a school calendar now, and it gets kind of annoying for my wife because that's the only way I know how to talk about things.
Yes, and Matt, I wanted to know, thank you for the history of how you guys got started. I want to talk some football right now, and I want to know who's your top two or three teams to really look for in this tournament coming up right now. We got 16 teams left. And it can only be one winner.
Well, if we're talking 3A, the conversation starts and finishes with Eastside Catholic, right? I mean, we all know that. Eastside Catholic's two top quarterbacks got hurt last year, and it took a heck of an effort from Garfield, the Bulldogs. They dogged them in the quarterfinals and beat Eastside Catholic 13-10. Otherwise, Eastside Catholic looked primed to march to a championship last year. This year, Michael Franklin, the junior quarterback, has been able to stay healthy. And I think Eastside Catholic is going to be pretty comfortable through the 3A, all the way through the 3A to a championship in the Dome. Now, the 4A, if we want to talk about the 4A, I think the 4A is wide open. I think there's five teams at the top of the 4A. Without trying to slight anybody below that, I think there's five teams at the top of the 4A that could win the whole thing. You got to start with the two undefeateds. You got Union and Lake Stevens. I don't care what your schedule is. If you go through a high school football season undefeated, you're in the conversation, especially at that 4A level coming out of Westco for Lake Stevens and the GSHL for Union. And then there's these three one-loss teams. Woodinville and Mount Si have both beat each other. I think those two teams are forces to be reckoned with. And then there's Puyallup, whose only loss this season was to Union, a game that Puyallup led the entire game, and they lost on a last-second touchdown by Union. And then they had to go down to Vancouver for that game. I think Puyallup at the 5 seed of the 4A, they might be the favorite. That's their only losses to the number one team in the state at the 4A level on the road with some travel involved, which is something the high school kids aren't necessarily used to. High school kids aren't necessarily used to traveling all the time like college kids or pros. When you have to go on the road, it's like a, two and a half hour drive, and you go on the road in a different environment. That does some things to you, but Puyallup barely lost that game to Union, and they're a scary team. So I think those five teams, I wouldn't be surprised to see any of the five of them hoisting the trophy. The teams that really intrigue me, I mean, we know about O'Day. O'Day, certainly on paper, it looks like they're the team that's going to be able to get Eastside Catholic the most trouble at the 3A level. But Mountain View and Lakes are the two teams that I look at the 3A that I'm really intrigued by. I haven't had a chance to see either of them in person yet. Lakes is the 5 seed. They look like a really good team. They just beat up a really good Lincoln team a few weeks ago, 41-14. And then Mountain View's only loss was by 3 points to Union to start the season. And Mountain View had a goal-to-go situation late in that game where they could have beat Union in week one. And they threw an interception and they fumbled the ball or something like that with 9 seconds to go. So those two teams intrigue me, but I still think the 3A goes through Eastside Catholic.
Yes, I think you're right on the money with that, and that's why I always ask you these type of questions, because I know you have an answer for me. But my question now to you is, who was the most intriguing players this season? If you can name a few, what was the most intriguing players? Because it's been a lot of talent that come in through here, but I would really love your assessment.
Man, I mean, so the crazy thing, the class of 2020 and 2021 in this state right now for football are absolutely insane. I mean, just the Eastside Catholic rosters alone, you got stars just everywhere in those two classes. First, you got G. Scott Jr., DJ Rogers, and Aiden Hector from the class of 2021. And then you go to the class of 2020, and the state might even get even better. You have three of, like, oh, I forgot to say Savelle Smalls in the class of 2020, so I apologize to Savelle Smalls. Savelle Smalls is maybe the best prospect in the country. Currently, I think 24/7 Sports have them as number three, but I find it hard to believe that there's two better players in the country than Savelle Smalls. And then you look at the class of 2021, Julian Simon is a kid for Lincoln that I'm absolutely enamored with. Like, Alabama was looking at him as a running back. and he just started playing running back about halfway through his sophomore season at Lincoln. This kid is about as freakish as they come. And then there's JT Tuimoloau, who that kid, as a human being, as a player, he has my heart, man. That kid is he might be my favorite athlete that I've ever covered. As a person, as an athlete, like, he is the total package. And not to mention, he's 6'4", 260-pound, whatever, sophomore, who can absolutely wreck you off of his defensive end position. From what I hear, he probably could play some offense too, but Eastside Catholic doesn't really have their players go both ways. Another guy for, obviously, Sam Heward is a guy that everybody's going to talk about. Class of 2021, maybe the best quarterback in the country. Right now they have him as the best pro-style quarterback in the country. And they have a guy that's a dual threat that they have ahead of him out of Texas, I believe. But Sam Heward is the real deal. Obviously, he has that Heward pedigree, with his dad being Damon Heward, his uncle being Brock Heward. Kind of crazy that we just saw him go up against Puyallup, where his dad and his uncle went to school this past weekend in the crossover games. And then Sam Adams for Eastside Catholic is another guy. I mean, I could go all day with Eastside Catholic's roster. I don't want to do that because there's so much other talent, you know, in the state. Bishop Blanchett just got eliminated, but I really like their running back, Tommy Gardner. There's a lot of guys, man. I could just go on and on and on. We're been covering Beach at Lincoln this week. Michael Campbell, I think is how you pronounce his name. He is a freak athlete on the outside. He's about 6'4", and he can run like nobody's business. He's a track guy. He can run, and he is an absolute game changer on the outside for Lincoln with their air raid offense. And then you have a defensive end for Rainier Beach, Oren Patu, who's getting looks. I think he's committed to Cal, if I'm not mistaken. So anytime you got guys that are committed to Pac-12 schools, that's a big deal. You know, his dad was a legend at Rainier Beach, Saul Patu, who's a member of the Rainier Beach coaching staff. Those are some of my favorite guys. But the, like I said, I mean, we've covered, let's see, after this weekend, we'll be up close to 30 football games covered this season. Now, it's not as easy, you guys know, it's not as easy to cover football as it is to cover basketball. Basketball, we covered over 100 games last year, 48 of those in 3 days at the Tacoma Dome. It's hard to get out to that many football games. But even with that, you just see so many athletes. Sawyer Racanelli is another kid. Now, I'll leave on this one. Sawyer Racanelli is a junior wide receiver that by the time he's done at Hawkinson, he's going to own almost every record in the state of Washington's receiving record book ever. Like, he's going to wipe everything off, out, just blow it out of the water. He's going to have some Jerry Rice-type numbers. Like, you know, Jerry Rice's records are untouchable, even though everybody's throwing the ball all over the place nowadays. Like, that's what Sawyer Racanelli's numbers are going to look like down at Hawkinson. And I think that kid is severely under-recruited, just to give the southern part of the state a little love. But, yeah, like I said, I could go on all day. There's so many kids to talk about. There's Darian Chase and Lincoln Victor down at Union High School, who is the number one seed in the 4A. There's so many kids. Like I said, I can go on and on.
Well, yeah, you sound just like me in basketball, but we can both go on and on with the basketball. Oh, my gosh, let's not even get started
yet. We'll get there.
We'll get there in due time.
Matthew Bissett joining us from ABC Jam Productions, a part of the NFHS Network, covering high school sports all over the state. And, man, you talk about all over the state. Matthew, that's where you and I first met way back in 2016, covering a, oddly enough, summer football game, an all-star game in Moses Lake. So you're not kidding when you talk about all over the state.
That game, sometimes we complain about the cold when you're doing football games, right? Because you get cold, and doing high school sports, you're not always in like a comfortable broadcast booth. Like you see, like I was watching Monday Night Football before I jumped on the show with you guys. You see those guys in the broadcast booth, and they're nice and comfortable. They probably have some heat on, even if it's a cold venue. They're nice and comfy. We do games outside, in the rain, under a gazebo, where you have to worry about the wind taking the thing away like a sail. I prefer that over what we did in Moses Lake. That was a late June game, I believe, maybe even early July game we did out in Moses Lake. And we were in this wooden box. Right, with no insulation, and the sun was just—we were literally in an oven. It must have been 97, 98 degrees inside this box. I don't know how the kids were playing football in that sort of weather, but I was dying, man.
Yeah, hopefully not only the players, but us being there lost a few pounds that day for sure. So it's definitely playoff time here for high school football in the state. You mentioned Rainier Beach and Lincoln will be a game you will have. What else do you have coming up this week as the playoffs keep rolling?
So we're going to be down at Puyallup in Puyallup for the Eastmont at Puyallup game. And anytime you get one of these teams coming over from Eastern Washington, I think it's great. I think it's interesting because in different regions of the state and different regions of the country, you see how different brands of football develop just based on the type of athletes you get and then based on the weather of that area. You see this certain brand of football develop. So anytime you get a team from Eastern Washington coming over the mountains to play a team from Western Washington, it's an interesting contrast in styles a lot of the time. And so Eastmont coming over from the Columbia Basin Big Nine League out there in like the Yakima area. You get them coming over and taking on Puyallup. Puyallup, like I said, one of the favorites in the 4A. But Eastmont only has one loss all year, just like Puyallup. So Eastmont draws the short end of the stick, or the short straw, though, and they get this 5 seed, and Eastmont's the 12 seed. I'm curious to see how that game shakes out. My gut tells me Puyallup would win, but that's without really knowing all that much about Eastmont. So we'll give them their just due. Like I said, they're coming in with the same record. Anything can happen. That's why you play the game. We're going to be at Memorial most likely for a doubleheader. Kamiakin plays O'Day at 5:00 at Seattle Memorial on Friday. And that's a rematch of the state championship game from 2 years ago. One that saw Kamiakin emerge victorious in overtime over the O'Day Fighting Irish. O'Day, obviously, the following year got their championship in 2017. When they came back and won the title. But that's an interesting game at Memorial. Interesting that Kamiakin's going to make that drive on a Friday. Like I said, I always wonder how travel is going to impact the kids. This is not something they're necessarily used to, making a 3-4-hour drive and having a play on a Friday. I don't know what school looks like that day for them or if they take the entire day off, but it's going to be interesting to see how that game plays out. And then the second game of the two is Eastside Catholic against Lake Washington. Lake Washington's the 16 seed. They're there. They've earned it, but I think they're the only team in 3A or 4A that has a record under 500. So they're going to have their hands full with Eastside Catholic. But, you know, Lake Washington played Bellevue tough earlier in the year. Bellevue only beat Lake Washington by 7 earlier this year, and that was just a couple weeks back. And that's all on Friday night. So we should do 4 games on Friday night with the Beach-Lincoln game kind of being that headliner. That's the 11-seed Rainier Beach against the 6-seed Lincoln. In my opinion, the defending runner-up in the state of Washington, Rainier Beach, 11 seed is probably too low for them. Anytime you play O'Day and Eastside Catholic in a season, those are pretty tough games. So that gives them 2 losses. And they lost one other game against Bishop Blanchette, who was a tough team this year, just got eliminated by Yelm. Rainier Beach at the 11 seed, that's a pretty tough draw for Lincoln at 6. Lincoln with the only 2 losses they have being to Lake Stevens, who's undefeated, and Lakes, who's the 5 seed at the 3A level. Lincoln had a really tough draw with Rainier Beach. That's a really intriguing game. I'm interested to see how the Rainier Beach runs the ball a lot, and they're going to pound it. They got this big running back, Xavier Burton, and they're going to pound the ball with this kid. He's about 250, 260, but he has some quick feet, and it's going to be fun to see him go up against the air raid offense. So Coach Matsumoto and Caden Filer is their quarterback. They're going to air it out for Campbell. They have Julian Simon, who does a little bit of everything for that offense. I'm looking forward to that contrast in styles between those two teams and the athletes they can throw out there. And then on Saturday, we also have Meade from the Spokane area, the GSL, coming over to take on Graham Kapowsin. Graham Kapowsin, of course, has Dylan Morris, who's committed to the University of Washington to play football at the next level. So that always is intriguing when you have a local kid going to the local big-name college to play quarterback. What can he put together? He does a lot for that team. He has a really good receiver named Malachi Roberson. And then, again, you got this team from Spokane coming out over here. We don't know much about them on the west side. We don't get out there that much. What is this Meade team all about? On paper, they look like the quote-unquote underdog, but are they really? Time will tell once we get to that game. That's at 1 p.m. on Saturday. So if everything goes according to plan, we should have 5 games covered this weekend in the first round of the state tournament in high school football.
And that's big, Matt. That's very big. Now, I wanted to ask a question because I'm a little confused on how they did the ranking. Is that something new, or that's what they've been doing?
No, this is the first year. This is the first year of this committee with the rankings. So previously, what they did is, you know, these crossover games, are, I've heard them called this Week 10 stuff, you know, this past weekend that we just got through. I've heard them called so many different things. I've heard them called district playoffs. I've heard them called crossover games. I've heard it called just Week 10. That is kind of postseason, but it's not part of the state tournament. So, for example, one of the games that happened this weekend was like the NPSL 1 seed. That was Todd Beamer against the Kingco 5 seed, which was Skyline. So in the past, no matter who won that game, Todd Beamer or Skyline would slide into the state bracket in a spot that was predetermined. So no matter who won, there was a spot already set aside for the winner of that game, and they already knew who they would go up against the winner of another matchup, whatever that was. So this year, what they've done is they still have that Week 10, and the matchups are still the same. So it was still Skyline that was the 5 seed out of Kingco, and Beamer was the 1 seed out of the NPSL. But what they did this year is after they had all these crossover games, right, these district playoff games, these Week 10 games, they had 16 of those games, right? So you had 32 teams, 16 games. Winner moves on to the state tournament, losers out, okay? And they do this at pretty much each division. I think 1B is the only exception because they don't have as many teams. Excuse me. So now what they do is after those 16 games were done, you have 16 teams in each tournament, and then you have a committee decide how to rank those teams. So the committee doesn't decide who qualifies for the tournament. You know, like in the college football playoff, the committee decides who qualifies for the college football playoff. That's not how this committee works. And what they do is they take those 16 teams and they rank them accordingly. And these are guys, you know, from all over the state. Excuse me, fellas, I just got a little bit of a cough. But these are guys from all over the state. So they have representation from Eastern Washington, Western Washington, Southern Washington, Central Washington. They have former coaches. They have guys who write about high school sports year-round. And they're guys that definitely know the game. And I think overall they did a pretty good job. I mean, earlier I mentioned that I don't think that Beach should be an 11 seed. But at the same time, they have three losses. And the 3A was full of teams with one or two losses. And so it was really hard to put Rainier Beach up higher than 11. Me and my buddy filled out a bracket, and I had Beach at 10. It's a tough draw with Lincoln because I think Lincoln could be one of those sneaky teams that surprises people with the offense that they have and the athletes that they have and the size that they have on the line of scrimmage. They could be sneaky. But, you know, I think there's some teams that could have some gripes. I mean, Bellevue is undefeated, and they played a tough non-league schedule, and they're the 4 seed. But, you know, they had a lot of close games against some teams that aren't in the playoffs. So they ranked 3 one-loss teams ahead of Bellevue. And I don't think there's too much argument to be had there. I could see both sides, basically.
Yeah, I think that you explained it very well for me. I appreciate it because I just didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know that was doing. Now, a question for me is that going to happen in basketball as well? Are they trying to incorporate that in everything now? Because
no,
I know they have
the
RPI system in basketball.
Yeah, the RPI is not going away. The RPI is not going anywhere from what I understand. This committee this year is kind of a pilot. They're testing out this committee. I think it's going to be here to stay because I think it was great. I think it created excitement, the committee. But the RPI is not going away. And I think the reason RPI works for basketball more so than it works for football is you just have more games. You know, like any time you have a mathematical equation that's going to decide things, the more games you have that makes for a bigger sample size, that makes the formula more accurate. Right? With football, you'd be ranking these teams based off of 9 games. That's really tough to do without too many common opponents between the teams that are being seeded.
That's definitely true.
Matthew Bissett dropping his knowledge from ABC Jam Productions. Man, you're a wealth of knowledge, Matthew, with all that you know. How much time are you putting in? Russell Wilson believes separation's in the preparation, and you are more than prepared. You know a lot about every team out there in this state. And you have a day job, and you have a full family. How do you do it?
Well, I neglect my family first and foremost. I mean, that's kind of my philosophy. No, you know, I used to watch way more NBA and NFL than I do now. Right? I still enjoy those. I still enjoy watching the NFL. I'll watch Monday Night Football. I'll watch football on Sundays if I don't have anything going on with my family. And I'll watch NBA games, especially when the Golden State Warriors are on. As you know, I'm a Bay Area guy, and I think they've saved the game of basketball. But anyway, I found that high school sports has become my fix. That's taken the place of the NBA and the NFL for me because I get to be more involved. I mean, with the NFL and the NBA, sure, you have fantasy sports and you have conversations with people on Twitter or Facebook or your friends if you see them. You have those conversations, but with high school sports, I get to be so involved and get to conduct interviews and get to really analyze this stuff as if I'm the guys on ESPN or I'm the guys you're listening to on the radio. You get to break this stuff down. It's become the fix for me. And so it just basically took the place of the time that I was dedicating to that other stuff. And what I do now is once my kids go to bed, then I'll hop on the computer and I'll start just researching. Like you said, separation's in the preparation. I don't like to go out of game. I used to do a radio show in the Bay Area on 95.7 The Game. It was the home of the A's and the Raiders when I was there. And now they have the Warriors as well. Excuse me for a second. I used to do a radio show. And the guy, and I'm not going to badmouth him, I won't mention his name. The guy I used to do a radio show with, he used to come into the show and he wouldn't have watched the A's games. We were on during the summer when most of what we talked about was A's and Giants. And he wasn't actually watching the games. He was just looking at a box score. And then he would come in and try to assess, you know, analyze the game based on the box score. And anybody knows, you can't do that. You can't just come into a game and break it down and really talk intelligently about it by looking at a box score. And I never wanted to be that guy. And so I've just always wanted to, if I'm going to, like I used to, my oldest was really young when I was on the radio. I didn't have the two other ones yet. And so after her, my wife went to bed, I DVR'd like every A's game that year. I think I watched like 154 of the 162 A's games that year because I never wanted to be unprepared going on the air. And so I would stay up late and just rewatch the game. I mean, I got to fast forward through the commercials and, you know, I'd kind of skim through it sometimes if I was tired. But I just, you know, that's what I do now. When my kids go to bed, when my wife and I work opposite schedules, which probably helps our marriage because she doesn't have to see me as often. But we work opposite schedules. So my kids go to bed. My wife's still at work. I'm researching. I'm finding out about, hey, how does this RPI work? How is this committee going to work? Who are the teams, you know, what leagues get how many bids into the state tournament? How does that, is that the same as last year? Is that different? What stats can I look up about these kids? As you guys know, finding stats about high school athletes is near impossible. So, I mean, you know, it's just when you have a love for something, a passion for something, you're more likely to spend time doing it. You know, if you love something, you enjoy something, you're just going to be better at it. And I feel like that's where this stems from. I like what I'm doing. We all know we don't make a ton of money doing this stuff, but we just enjoy it. And that's why I tell guys when they come on board, first and foremost, just do this first of all for the love. If we get to a point where we're making money, fantastic. The schools are making a little money off of it. I know Rainier Beach has made some money in the last couple of years being affiliated with us because they get 10% of whatever revenue our broadcasts bring in, and that makes me feel great about what we're doing. You know, but I just do it first and foremost for the love of it. And then if the money comes later, the money comes later. But I think that's what drives me.
Now, Matt, I know you've had to deal with people that, or what would you say to people that have an issue with the subscription fee to watch the games? Clearly, nothing is free in this world, and the equipment isn't free. Our time isn't free. You putting all your time and research and effort into it isn't free. What would you say to those people that might quiver at the daily or weekly subscription fee?
Well, here's what I say to a lot of people. So I work for Costco Travel as my day job, and I don't think I've said anything too controversial here that could get me in hot water at work, so I think I'm good. So I work for Costco Travel as an analyst in my day job, and part of Costco's message or mission is to provide value to the members, right? So I take that, and I implement that into ABC Jam Productions, right? So we're an affiliate of the NFHS Network. I can't control the NFHS Network subscription price, and nor would I want to, right? We make very little of that subscription price. It's $9.95 a month, right? So I wouldn't want to control that. That's just what it is. But what I can do is I can put more games on in a month. So that way, if you sign up and you're willing to spend that $9.95, instead of you just getting that one game that you originally signed up for, there's going to be at least 25 others in the month that you can also watch. That's what I can do for you. So take the state tournament, for example, the state basketball tournament. We did 48 games in 3 days, right?
Lost our voices. Package,
what's that?
Yes,
lost our voices.
Lost our voices. Yeah, it happens. When you talk as passionately as we do, you're going to lose your voice doing that many games in those days. So 48 games in 3 days. Now, if somebody went to the Tacoma Dome, I think a package for one person to see all those games, I think it was $25, $35, somewhere around there. Now, I'm not knocking the WIA's pricing. That's not what this is about, right? Now, you could spend the $25, $35. You're probably going to pay for food once you're there. You likely don't live right around the corner from the Tacoma Dome, so you have to drive to the Tacoma Dome. You likely have to pay for parking once you're there. So if you want to go to the Tacoma Dome for all 3 days, the 3 days that we covered, per person, you're probably looking at least $50, right? That's a pretty conservative number when you think about food and parking and all that stuff, unless, you know, somebody's a real go-getter and wants to pack a lunch for every single day they're there. But you're probably looking at $50 per person, which is no small number. Now, $10 a month, you know, $10 a month, you pay the $10 on the first day that we do games, you get the next 47 games for free, right? Like, $10 for that one game, 48 games for $10. I that's the way I'm just trying to provide value, and I hope people see that. I make $3.75 per subscription. I pay a crew to go out and do the games. I lose money on more games than I make money, I'm fine doing that. I'm perfectly fine doing that. But I just think people have this misconception about how much money is in high school sports. I do this, first of all, for the love, which is what I advise all of you guys. But secondly, I gotta warrant the time away from my wife and kids, right? I have to be showing her something at the end of each month. Hey, here's a little money. You know, we can go on a date tonight because I was broadcasting. We don't have to worry about that bill. I got it covered because I've been broadcasting. I got to show a little something to be able to get the approval from the wife to be out every Friday night.
And I have to say that subscription is more valuable than just that. You can go back, and if you're a basketball junkie or a football junkie like I am, you can go back to games that you would want to see from last year or from this season. What about that great game against Rainier Beach and Garfield? Well, you can go back and see it played. So that's the real special thing about the subscription is not only do you hear us and the excitement and the love that we have for the game, but you also get to hear us again if you want to play that game back again, commercial free.
Yeah, the on-demand stuff, I mean, it's going to be there for the foreseeable future, indefinitely. I don't know how long, you know, the NFHS network will exist, but those games are all there. I started broadcasting with them back in, I think, 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And you can still go back and watch my first broadcast. I'm not going to tell you which one it was, though, because I'm embarrassed of it. you can literally go back that far. So when you're talking to your buddy and you're saying, hey, did you see that Kevin Porter Jr. dunk from last night's game? The guy's like, I missed it. Oh, wait, here, let me send you a link. You know, it's literally that easy. And then also, I mean, the thing that, so when I was, this is part of the reason why I love it. When I was growing up, my parents split when I was five. This isn't a sob story. I love both my parents. It was great. Whatever. We're fine. Right? My mom, she worked two jobs. Single mom in the Bay Area, one of the most expensive places in the world to live. My mom worked two jobs, and it was hard for her to always make it to my basketball games. So think about this. Like, and that was just trying to go to one kid's sporting event. Think about people with, you know, parents with multiple kids, and they have to choose which kid's game they want to go to if they're being played on the same night, right? Or, you know, or like, hey, mom or dad's got two jobs. They can't make it out for that. They can't make it out to the game. They can still watch them later on that night if they want to. Or if their kid who was playing in the game once had a really good game or even a really bad game and wants to go back and watch his own game, hear what the broadcaster said, I think it's just fun. Bottom line, it's just fun. If we're having fun, I think other people are going to have fun with it. And that's the main thing I tell people we should be getting out of this.
Matthew Bissette of ABC Jam Productions, a part of the NFHS Network. Man, thank you for your insight, your time. Thank you for bringing both of us, me and Proof in the play here, into your circle. And I'm excited for Friday night to be a part of Rainier Beach and Lincoln, two great teams at one of the best settings in all of college football.
Thank you, fellas.
There goes Matthew Bissette. You can follow ABC Jam Productions on Twitter at ABC Jam Pro and on Facebook as well, ABC Jam Productions. Stay in touch with everything Matthew Bissette and our entire team is doing. And it's a big team, Proof. There, you know, it takes a village.
It does take a village, man. I'm telling you, it's a lot of games to be covered. A lot of you guys don't want to go to all of these gymnasiums. And because we love the game this much, man, we are searching high and low, getting to games, being in the cold weather, trying to get to a gymnasium, in the field, big games coming up. Sean Wally, you know, Sean Wally, what did you do this weekend, though? This past weekend was kind of major for you.
Man, I had a great time. I'm working at CenturyLink Field for the major sports TV networks. Worked for CBS Sports for the NFL football game between the visiting and, unfortunately, victorious Los Angeles Chargers and the Seattle Seahawks. It was a crazy game. It was an interesting game. Seemed like the Seahawks were playing in quicksand all day until the final few minutes, and Russell was working his magic. And man, giving Russell that chance with 90 seconds left, you knew it was going to come down to a touchdown or bust. And he made the right throw, hit the guy in the chest. David Moore, I'm sorry you dropped it. Chargers win.
And I think Russell Wilson, man, I think he really is making his presence felt. Do you think he's one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. You look at the stats since he's been in the league in 2012. You look at the amount of games he's won. You look at his fourth quarter comebacks. You look at the top tier quarterbacks head to head he's beaten. Sure, he just lost to Rivers. But prior to this game losing to Rivers, he was, I think it was 10-0 or 12-0 against the AFC, including Tom Brady at least twice. Well, not in the Super Bowl, of course, but regular season included there. Of course, there's epic battles with Aaron Rodgers. Of course, we all know about the touchception or the fail Mary, as a lot of people call it, that happened a few years ago in Seattle with Golden Tate sort of making that catch. But you look at last week, Russell was perfect. He had a perfect quarterback rating in the win in Detroit on the road. And yesterday, for whatever reason, it just wasn't there. He threw his second pick six of the season, a terrible read by Russell. But then you look at the final 90 seconds, he's vintage Russell again when it mattered. Sure, they could have won that game, should have won that game. That first drive was fabulous. Go down, score, you're up 7-0. Unfortunately, Seattle's defense was a little bit off and couldn't stop the run. Phillip Rivers does what he does. He figures out a way to find his receivers, use his checkdowns. He's a great quarterback. There's no doubt about that. And Seattle's got a gauntlet right now. They go to LA coming up this weekend. The Rams finally losing for the first time this season in New Orleans yesterday, and you know, Seattle was within two and lost to the Rams earlier this season, so it would not surprise me at all to see Seattle stub their toe yesterday at home, get right this week, and play a great game down in LA. This weather should be great, and hey, they have to rise to the occasion, because right now they're in the gauntlet of their schedule. They faced Phillip Rivers and lost. They've got the great Rams team coming up on Sunday. Then they have a short week, Thursday night football against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and I'll be there working that one. So it's a great time. You know, they talk about championship weeks every time, every week in Seattle, Pete Carroll speak, and hey, they have to prove it if they want a shot at a wild card, because most likely they're not going to catch the Rams, even if they beat them on Sunday. you know, the wild card is there to be had because there's a lot of mediocrity this year in the NFL.
Yeah, I've seen that. But I think just the NFC West is really a dogfight to get out of. And if you're not at the top tier of that, that NFC, it's going to be a struggle to get out of that wild card race.
Well, you hope that you can come to the cream of the crop a little bit and gain hold of the wild card spots because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of mediocrity right now outside of the Rams, the Saints. Who else in the NFC is top billing? The Packers, you would think, but they're struggling.
Yeah, they're struggling as well. Well, you know, you never know. Right around this time, you know, somebody's going to break out and start having a nice run, which is always a good thing for football. But back to you, Wally, because we got to talk about all of this on All in the Double, okay? Black Friday, you're going to be now announcing at Western Washington, I hear?
Yes, that rumor can be confirmed. It will be a fun and fancy Black Friday, as not only will it be a full moon, which Black Friday is already crazy enough, right? Now you add the full moon to it, but I will be debuting as men's and women's basketball play-by-play man for Western Washington University, the Vikings, doing a television-style broadcast live to YouTube, full graphics, four cameras, replays involved. I'm excited. I was up there last week checking things out with their broadcast center and how they run things, and I'm stoked. It is as close to professional as I've ever been privileged to announce for, and so I'm excited. If you get a chance to check it out on Black Friday, please do.
I definitely will. If you guys need anybody to sweep up the floor, let me know.
Absolutely. We will keep you in the loop. You know that proof. All right. So we're going to step away to, man, it's already 7:43 on the West Coast, and we need to get to a break. We have one more big-time guest coming up, and that is none other than John Jensen of Sound Sports Net to keep the high school talk going right here on The Double with the Double S Express. You are my treasure. You are my treasure.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally, one half of the Double S Express, and an honorary member, proof in the play, filling in for Sean Boyd tonight as we go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two. That is none other than John Jensen of Sound Sportsnet, play by play broadcast extraordinaire. John, what's going on tonight?
My man, good evening to you and yours. It's Monday. Just recovering from a active Friday and a great weekend of college and pro pig, and now we get to commence to the next stage up here in the Evergreen State, man. We're getting ready for the prep pig party. High school, the state playoffs start this week, and lots of great action to be had.
So, for those that may not know, Sound Sportsnet, your own sports broadcasting network, your own internet station. How do you do it? Where do you do it? And where will you be this week?
Oh, let's see. Well, we started in 2012. I was based in Northwest Washington, primarily covering the Skagit Valley area, which is north of Everett, Washington. That's about a half hour north of Seattle. Basically covering Skagit, Whatcom, Island County, some Snohomish County action as well, for the better part of 4 years. Then I took a hiatus. I took a position in Eastern Washington and worked with an ESPN radio affiliate in Yakima, Washington. And then a year later, came back to the West and took care of some educational things and some personal soul searching and taking care of family stuff. And then made the trek down here to the South Sound region. Olympia is the state capital of Washington. And there are plenty of schools to be had. So I thought, hey, and this was an area that was seriously lacking in coverage for a good number of years. So I ventured into it and building the associations with the great administrators, coaches, booster clubs, the parents, the student athletes, they've really embraced with what I've been able to do, collaborating with the athletic programs. It's been developing great relationships. In terms of activity that's going to be happening, this weekend is the opening round of the WIAA, state football playoffs, and I will be covering a Class 3A game featuring the Timberline Blazers out of Lacey. There's three high schools in the community of Lacey. Timberline has been in the state playoffs last couple of years. They finished second in their in the South Sound 3A conference, falling. The only loss that they had was to Peninsula in a big midseason battle that Timberline had on the road up in Gig Harbor, Washington, which is north of Tacoma. But in an overtime loss, that was Timberline's only defeat. In conference play, they're 8-2 right now. But they'll be taking on Mount Spokane out of the Greater St. Helens League. Mount Spokane, a pretty decent club. I think they can definitely throw some things in the works. I mean, they showed up really well in the Greater Spokane League, and should be a lot of fun coming up on Friday, November the 9th.
Now, listen, I just want to know, because I'm not down there, John, I want to know two or three of your top players from that region out there in the Timberline and Lacey area.
All right, well, I can tell you number one quarterback by the name of Hunter Campo, 5'8", 170-pound senior. He is the second leading rusher in the state of Washington. He threw for over 1,000 yards. He rushed for over 1,000 yards. This kid is cat quick, great head on his shoulders, very solid and sound in his decision making. They do like to run the ball quite a bit, but Campo, he can also toss the rock, and he's got some really reliable receivers. Another player from Timberline on the defensive side of the ball, Jamin Fa'alogo, 6'3", 235 pounds of Island Thunder. He can play on both sides of the ball. He was an outside linebacker last year, and they moved him to the Mike or the middle linebacker. This kid has great lateral speed, and he can also play offense. He's also a running back, and when he hits you hard. Great speed, wonderful agility, real strong kid, real humble. Off the field, real humble, easygoing guy, but you get him inside the gridiron, Lord have mercy, he'll put a whooping on you real quick.
Hey, and I'm glad you said that. Now, I want to know, I needed to know one thing right now, was that because you guys have, what brand of football do you guys kind of have out there in the capital of Washington?
Well, we do got a lot of running teams. Keep in mind, in the schools around our area, they are basically, there's basically three leagues in which these schools are somehow mismatched in. One school in particular, River Ridge, they're a Class 2A school in the North Thurston School District. The other two schools in the North Thurston School District being North Thurston and Timberline. Olympia High, they are the furthest south school of the South Puget Sound League Class 4A. 4A is the highest classification here in Washington State. And Olympia is a fairly balanced program, but I mean, some schools are really proficient in their passing game. Mostly they like to keep it on the ground. It really all depends on the personnel and the coaching schemes that maximize, you know, the personnel that they have. And what I found, some schools really have a really good mesh of players. I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, you're only as good as the horses up front. So you gotta have some pretty decent sized kids to give your quarterbacks time and pocket to be able to do what they do. There are some speedsters down here as well, both running on the offensive side with running backs and wide receivers who got really good hands. So I would say for the most part, you got mostly running programs, but there are a couple of programs that aren't afraid to air it out early.
John Jensen joining us from Sound Sportsnet, doing lots of high school and even youth sports on Sound Sportsnet, broadcasting over the South Sound region, not to mention doing great things with bowling. You can find him on YouTube doing awesome things, calling bowling action, and of course, running the pro shop at Westside Lanes in West Olympia, Washington. Man, John,
nice
how do you have time
plug,
for it all?
Brother, nice plug. We make the capital city pretty one rock at a time. I mean, I love the bowling industry, been involved in the game now. 33 years, been doing pro shop for 31, mostly as a hobby. I've worked with numerous pro shops throughout Washington State, Eastern and Western Washington. Learned the craft from the gurus in the industry. It so happens that a gentleman who I've learned the craft from, he is a mentor, one of the top USBC gold level coaches in the world, and he's literally at my back door. So many people I give credit to for what I've been able to do all these years.
Man, and you know, we can't let you get to your evening and enjoy it without letting you boast about your Washington State Cougars. I mean, game day finally showed up in Pullman. They are winning. How hyped are you for the Wazoo Cougs?
I tell you, man, how about that? Gardner Minshew, he leads the nation in passing. Believe the hype. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. If you have not had a chance to catch any of the highlights this year of what basically, I would call it in this situation a Pied Piper. I mean, he could have been a graduate assistant at the University of Alabama, but then all of a sudden a phone call came up from the Palouse, and Mike Leach got him up over here, and he's been a savior for the Cougs. And Minshew Mania, I mean, the mustache is back in style, and it's Movember, so make it a Movember to remember. And fellas, grow out a mustache for a month, okay? You know, it's all about having the top of mind awareness and creating the awareness, you know, for men's issues, you know, prostate cancer, low T, all that stuff. And, you know, can't think of a better guy, you know, to be able to do what he does it so well. Not only folks here in the Northwest have embraced him, but just his story and how it's really caught fire across the country. I mean, he's up for the talks of being a Heisman candidate, and I can't think of anyone more deserving than Gardner Minshew for that.
Right, that is an amazing feat there on the Palouse. And John, you know what it's like up against it. We are up against the top of the hour, so we have to run, get to the next show here on BBS Radio. But we definitely thank you for coming on a short notice. And man, go to soundsportsnet.com for everything John Jensen is doing. Find him on Facebook, SoundsportsNet. John, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, be good. Be good to you and yours. Be healthy, be happy, and by all means, please do be safe out there every day and every way. Peace.
There goes John Jensen from Olympia, Washington. Proof in the play. Hey, man, this show was fluid. It was quick. Last words, go.
Man, I was just excited to be pinch hitting. Hopefully, I got on base.
Proof, thanks for your efforts. Doug at BBS Radio, appreciate all you do. Thanks to Matthew Bissett and John Jensen for joining us. My name is Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.